Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Robert Moeller, Jr. The New Testament reading for today is from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 24. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it well, so that your readiness is desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered a little had no lack. But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being administered by us. For the glory of the Lord himself, and to show us our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. There are two subjects many pastors hesitate to preach about, sex and money. St. Paul avoids neither. In today's reading from 2 Corinthians, he speaks about an offering being gathered for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Yet notice that Paul hardly speaks of money at all. Instead, he calls this offering an act of grace, a fellowship, a service, an expression of love. Christian giving is never merely about dollars and cents. It is the fruit of God's grace at work in believing hearts. Paul points the Corinthians to the churches in Macedonia. These Christians were suffering persecution, living in deep poverty. By every human measure, they had little to spare. Yet Paul says that their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. They gave freely, eagerly, and beyond what anyone expected. Not because someone pressured them, but because they had first given themselves to the Lord. God's grace had made them joyful givers. Then Paul directs our eyes away from the Macedonians to the one who is far greater than any example. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," he writes, "that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Before Christ is our example, he is our Savior. The eternal Son of God laid aside his heavenly glory, humbled himself even to death on the cross, and there exchanged our poverty of sin for the riches of his forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life. Every act of Christian stewardship begins here with Christ's gracious gift of himself for us. That same grace is still given to us today. Christ comes among us in his preached word, where he declares our sins forgiven. He comes to us at his holy table, giving us his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, strengthening our faith and renewing our hearts. Having first received his gifts, we are then free to give our own, not to earn God's favor, but because we already have it in Christ. Our offerings, our acts of mercy, and our care for brothers and sisters in need become joyful responses to the grace we have received. Like the Macedonians, we first give ourselves to the Lord. Then everything else follows. For the one who became poor to make us rich continues to pour out his grace upon us until the day we share forever in the riches of his heavenly kingdom. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you've called us to be your children and heirs of your gracious promises in Christ Jesus. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may forsake all covetous desires and the inordinate love of riches. Deliver us from the pursuit of passing things that we may seek the kingdom of your Son and trust in his righteousness and so find blessedness and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.